Country Club, Justin Akre, Chris Kane, and now joined by John Thompson, the legendary coach, decked head to toe in his Red Wolves garb. Coach, good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, not the legendary 6'8 basketball coach.
Not to be confused with. No.
Not to be.
Yes,
not to be. A lot of disappointment. They come out looking for that young man or that gentleman. How you guys doing? Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Glad to see you in Central Arkansas.
Glad to be here.
Probably sure. A lot of John Thompsons in the world, but that is one the former Georgetown coach will never, ever get confused with you. For sure. So.
Well, thank you.
You've been working so hard. I'm sure that you haven't had a lot of time to play golf, but looking forward to today.
Oh, man, what a great time just to come back and see a lot of people and all for a great cause and see a lot of old friends, a lot of good coaches, a lot of bad golfers, and good to see you guys, too.
Yeah, well,
good to be here.
We fall into that last category,
yes.
So unfortunately. How are things in Northeast Arkansas?
Real good. Things are going very, very well. Recruiting, obviously, we're out there doing that, but coming off a championship year, you know, to 10 win seasons back-to-back, a lot of good things, new staff, and a lot of adjustments going on, but really like these guys, really like our new staff, and like our new players coming in, so it's all good,
yeah.
As we say.
Had a player taking the NFL draft as well?
Yeah, just got a text from him. His first OTA, as I was walking at Don Jones, you're talking about,
safety.
This down in safety, an outside linebacker, nickel, corner. I mean, he's very, very talented guy. He's at Miami. But it's ironic, as I was walking in the door, got a text from him. First OTA this morning, said he did well. So, it's really good. That's a great guy now. He could do a lot of things, can change a game in a lot of ways. So, he'll do well. I think he'll do well down in Miami.
What is the what's been the biggest transition for you, and what have been the biggest changes, if anything?
Oh, you know, I know where my parking spot is now, just not leaving, not changing. The biggest change is no change.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just – thrilled to be able to stay here in Arkansas and be at Arkansas State. It's a great time to be there. Brian Harsin, our new head coach, I think everybody's really going to get to enjoy him and like him. He's got a firm approach, but he also can have some fun and laugh and getting to where he understands our state and what's going on. We're going to have some good players doing a great job recruiting. I really like the guy. So I guess that's a strange question that you asked, but I asked, no changes. Most change.
Yeah, okay. So
makes sense.
There's been a change, but not much change.
Yeah, that's right.
What about everybody's, you know, and it doesn't matter what school you're talking about, quarterback change, especially when you're trying to replace a guy like Applin.
Yeah, well, you're not going to. You're not. I mean, there's a guy, now they talk about, you know, the changes in coaches, but losing this guy, losing a guy named like Ryan Applin, who had it all, and when you say it, he had it, off the field, on the field. When the play would break down, he'd get you a first down. Tremendous leadership, great personality, had all the intangibles for a champion, and that's why we won the championship. But a guy like him and Nate Harrell and some other guys, but you lose him, so that's got to be, you know, huge shoes to fill. We've got some guys, you know, Phillip Butterfield has been around. It's his time to come on and do that. Stephen Hogan from Greenwood, you know, moved around, played receiver last year back. And we've got a transfer in from Utah State that is on campus now. So we'll see. It's going to be a big battle. I'm going to let those guys worry about it. We're going to try to not give up first downs.
Well, it sounds like you lost one of your quarterbacks, too, on your side of the ball going to the NFL.
Yeah.
So, what kind of replacement are you guys having to do on your side?
Well, we lost six guys on defense. So, eight a year ago, six. So, we're replacing a lot of guys. But, you know, you look at in college football, I go back to last year and say, well, there were so many unknowns about our defense, and we really came on and played well. So, you're hopeful that that's going to happen. You put your guys through the summer. You teach them how to practice. They're on their own all summer. So, they've got to progress. Keyshawn Lee should be a big time linebacker for us. He was a most valuable player in our bowl game. Made the save and tackle there at the end. We've got some guys, Artez Brown at corner. We've got some Sterling Young, good players that are coming back that know how to win. Won a lot of football games, so that's a big difference.
John Thompson joining us here at the Chenal Country Club again, the Hall of Fame tournament going on this afternoon. You know, last year, again, that was one of the big question marks going in because of all the replacements you guys
Absolutely.
Had to have defensively. You know, I don't know if you look at one season versus another as far as what you're more proud of, because I know you work hard every year, but I would think that's about as good a job, or you've got to be about as proud as last year as you've been of any year you've worked.
Well, you always like it, Justin, when you progress and you get better. And I think we played as well as we could at the end of the season. But you look back, we were pretty sorry at the beginning of the year. So I'm not real proud of
that.
You played Oregon.
That was part of it. But then we played some other teams early, and we did. We got better. And that goes back to our guys. We had some, and you say this, we had some unique people, very, very mature, very, very much, and took the reins by their hands and said, hey, we're going to get better. This is after our Western Kentucky game. We got beat in Western Kentucky, our only loss in a conference. After that game, we said, we're not going to have that feeling again. We're not going to do it. And guys changed. They changed their approach. They changed their preparation. They changed their leadership, and it made a difference. And just to be a part of that, I mean, I love these guys, and they're special. Now we got to get some other guys doing it.
This time of year, after spring football, before you guys go back for fall camp, is there anything different with the way you do things with an experienced team versus an inexperienced team?
Well, yeah, a little bit. You know, and now we've got an inexperienced coaching staff that's coming in, and I have more background on what our players are like and some of their history, whether it's positive or negative. And I try not to put too much with our new coaches where, you know, I wouldn't, you know, darken their ideas of them, but or be unrealistic. And so we try to balance that out a little bit. But more than anything else, I know them. I know what I think some of their strengths and weaknesses are, and we got to attack those weaknesses and get better. So I'm just trying to get better myself. I got a long way to go to get better.
I don't know about all that. I think you've proven yourself out over time. You're a pretty good feel for what's going on. We've talked a lot about basketball because most of the transition as far as the teams in and out happened during the basketball season as far as the announcements go. The only announcement we saw recently is the Sun Belt changed their logo.
But I saw that yesterday.
That probably won't impact the outcome on the field.
But I did look at it. Yes. I saw that on Twitter, actually, and you can spin it, and it can be your home team's colors.
There you go.
Very innovative.
We actually had – well, my question is, I guess, we had John
Brady.
John Brady, thank you.
I've heard of him.
His name escaped me. How could you forget a guy like John Brady? Anyway, we had him on this week talking about the changes, and he doesn't feel like – there's a huge impact, at least not any kind of negative, with the teams that have left versus the teams that are coming in, because there are some good basketball programs. When you look at how things from a football standpoint go and look at the additions and the departures, how do you feel about the Sun Belt as a whole?
Well, I'll say this. I talked to a coach that just left Conference USA and that played a couple of Sun Belt teams last year, and he said, and this is just a coach talking, so you can factor that in, but he said Sun Belt Conference, he thought, had better talent than Conference USA at this moment. Hmm. So, yeah, we lost some good teams. We're getting some good teams. And when you get Appalachian State that comes in, Georgia Southern, that's I know about those two guys. They've won a lot of games. Southwest Texas or Texas State now, I should say, and then Georgia State went through a tough year last year, their transition, new coach. So, hey, you know what? Whoever shows up on our schedule, you know, that's the way I look at it. They're going to be tough. Winning a game is hard, it is.
John Thompson joining us here at the Hall of Fame tournament out at Chennault, and that's the thing, having been, you know, covering FCS football and working with UCA like I do, I mean, you realize there is not a huge gap, especially with the elite teams in FCS, and we've seen teams like Appalachian State beat Michigan. I mean, it does happen. They're not too far off. The level of play at some of those elite schools, especially the two you just mentioned that are coming in, they're going to compete right away.
No, and the biggest thing, and everybody says it, is depth. I mean, the top 22, your top guys, they're going to battle and battle and battle. It's that drop-off. Like, you go back to us right now, my biggest concern is our depth on defense, especially in our secondary. So, because you're not going to go a full season where somebody's got to step in and make a difference. So that's more than anything else, that's the difference in the level of football and even in some conferences, just the difference in ones and twos and threes.
You guys won two straight Sun Belt titles as a program. That's got to help in recruiting a lot, especially when you go out to these homes and talk to these kids.
Absolutely. I mean, everywhere we go, I mean, you don't have to go in and explain where Jonesboro is or the history of Arkansas State. They've seen us on television. You win 10 games back to back and win conference championships back to back. Nothing sells your program, and nothing does more for recruiting more than winning. So that's what we're trying to do, just keep this thing going. Got a lot of momentum.
I know you're focused on business. Chris just got back from the beach, though, so it made me wonder what you have a go-to for summer vacation.
You know, we'd love to be in the beach. We got Charlene and I, my wife, have a rising senior and a rising sophomore, so we get to go to 7-on-7s and camps and be all across the country that way. The few weeks that we get off, we'll go and do something that way. So it's all good. Looking
That's
forward
exciting.
To hanging out in Arkansas, yeah. Land of opportunity, the natural state.
I like that.
Of course. You sell it well.
How's your game?
Very poor.
You're not going to help your team, but you tell some good stories out there?
I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to have a good time. I don't know who my team is. They'll be disappointed when I'm not 6'8".
We got it right here.
I'm not 6'8" and 300 pounds.
Yep. I don't recognize anybody on there. You know what? I'm sure they'll enjoy having you out there.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Man, thank you guys for what y'all do. I've got to listen to you around the state, traveling around. A lot of fun.
We'll get you on.
Y'all are nuts.
Let's do this a little more regularly.
I'm proud of that.
Hey, thank you.
You are a solid guest always. So, and the background he's got is always great to have him on. So that's John Thompson, the defensive genius behind Arkansas State. And I think – you know, he can't say it, but I think last year was one of his most impressive performances ever. When you get all those new guys coming in, I mean, because that was the thing. We're like, Arkansas State's going to be great. I'm like, wait a minute. Eight guys are replacing on defense. I mean, yeah. Relax a little
That
bit.
Was the biggest question mark.
I was like, how quickly can they be ready to play? And then, like you said, I mean, you go out and get your teeth kicked in a couple of games against some big programs. And, oh, by the way, Oregon's about as hard to guard as anybody in recent history.
Ever.
So, yeah, I mean, exactly. In college football, it's probably true. So it was I thought he just did an unbelievable job last year.
They ended up finishing off the season. That win against Middle Tennessee to clinch the conference championship was just as impressive as I've ever seen in person, both offensively and defensively. And you knew Gus Malzahn, his offense was going to get a lot of attention, but the defense really stepped up their game, and really helped seal that conference title second straight. So impressive.
So let's do a quick Hog update, and we'll talk a little baseball here and a little bit of Coach Bielema, who was here last night. A really interesting development in the football program that he shed some light on. We'll just stay there now. And again, you know what? Let's not do that. We'll hold off on that. We'll do baseball first.
Okay.
Razorbacks lost 2-3 over the weekend, if you missed it, to Auburn, a very lowly Auburn team, a team that is the 10 seed in the SEC tournament. You get the All-Alabama matchup in the opening round, though. Alabama and Auburn playing one another in the 7-10 matchup. It is a single elimination in the first round, which I didn't realize, Chris. I don't know if you knew that. And then it becomes double elimination beyond that. So Arkansas will not play until Wednesday at 9:30, and that is a double elimination matchup against Ole Miss or Kentucky. And then if the Hogs win, they'll play 4:30. If they lose, they'll play 9:30 the next day against the loser of LSU and whoever they end up playing between Alabama and Auburn. So goes through Sunday. Arkansas, we both feel like, probably has to do some work to secure a regional. Not because of the record. Because of the RPI.
Exactly.
So we'll see. But, I mean, I think the SEC is so well-respected nationally that you've got to let three teams in as far as a regional goes. You got 16 sites. I mean, I got to think that three SEC teams are going to get sites.
You would like to think that.
We've
seen in the past, though, at the same time, we've seen teams that, based on RPI and maybe a couple wins and losses, get – a regional when really they don't have the facilities, they don't have the site, and they're still going to get it based off their RPI.
Trey Schaap is going to play his entire round today with just a driver. He's going to putt with it, chip with it.
He's that good.
I bet Trey could play his whole round with a driver and beat me.
He's that good.
Don't ask me. That's rude, isn't it? I would never do that. I know. Here's the thing. If you're going to come, I don't know if it's right or wrong to walk out on a graduation before the end of it, but I do know it's rude to wear another club shirt.
At
another club, yes. I think that's very out of line. Trey, jockstrap to you on this Monday. Game ball to your team for winning. I'll go ahead and say it's probably going to happen in advance. So,
who does he have?
Doesn't matter, does it? I mean,
no.
He can play with you, me, and another Slappy, and we'd still win. So, anyway, Trey's really good. Anyway, disappointing for the baseball team, but still some things to play for, so we will see. And if you're an SEC baseball tournament baseball fan, this becomes a more significant week for Arkansas. Trey Schaap, my man in Amsterdam, will be in Hoover, Alabama, covering it all, and he will be joining us from Hoover.
He loves Hoover.
He spends a lot of time there, probably more than he'd like to admit. Okay, football-wise, Coach Bielema was here with a couple of his staff members. Tabor Johnson was here. Also, Jim Chaney, the new offensive coordinator, talking about the upcoming season. And one of the big questions we had was, how did the whole Mitchell thing go down? How did that whole thing come about where he ended up transferring? And Coach Bielema, very honest about it last night, actually was asked about it and shed some light on how Brandon Mitchell, you know, found out about the fact that he was not going to be the starter and how they kind of facilitated him looking for options and exploring where he might end up.
I suggested it to him. It wasn't, there wasn't any surprise on my part. I think as the spring unfolded and I knew he wasn't going to be the starting guy, I knew that as a head coach I'd be a lot more I think the kids have got an understanding of me that I just rather would sit down and talk very, very bluntly and very honestly. So I brought him in, just said, Brandon, I think this is what you're thinking about doing. You know, you got a chance to graduate this summer. And he kind of verified that information. I said, well, let's work together. Let me put out a release and get some schools that are interested in you. And rather than trying to do it behind closed doors or without it being out in the open. So he immediately got an inquiry from, like I knew he would, 5 to 10 schools. And best thing we can do for Brandon is help him through that process and let him see some places that might have an interest in letting him finish his career and his opportunity, and wishing the best of luck. Well, I know this. You don't want anybody in your program that potentially, you know, take away from what other people are doing. And I just felt that as a senior, and he's been through a lot, for him to graduate and get where he needs to be, it would be a great situation for him to move on and do that. That was probably the driving force of anything. I think every kid should leave with a great experience. And for him to be able to graduate, earn his degree, and have a chance to be a starter as a senior, that's totally understandable. You know, it's just like any other situation. I mean, anybody can be gone at any given play, you know, so you'd really, as a head coach, I've learned not to really try to overanalyze or project or make anything bigger than it needs to be.
That is Brett Bielema talking about Brandon Mitchell, and I just thought it was significant they were so open, and he, you know, tried to help facilitate for him some options and doing it the right way. And, you know, we talked about there was a situation that was not similar, but it was a little bit apples and oranges, but about not being a unified front. And we talked to, trying to think what the situation was. It was recent. It was about Derrick Rose, and about how, you know, it was Derrick Rose's brother was talking, and then Derrick would say one thing, and the organization was saying something, and
the teammates.
Tom Thibodeau was saying something, and the teammates were out there.
Yeah.
And Joe Klein's whole point was, look, you need to get together and have a unified front and have one opinion, one voice on what's going to happen. He's not playing. He is playing. We will evaluate series by series. Whatever it is, there should have been one idea, one concept there. There wasn't. There were many different people talking, which created probably more of a furor outside the Bulls locker room than there was inside.
It was a distraction. It was taking away from the actual series itself. Players being asked about that instead of about the performance on the court that night.
Flip side of that is that Coach Bielema very upfront, honest, and straightforward with Brandon Mitchell, and hopefully he'll end up in the right situation.
Wish him all the best.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any bad blood there.
No.
Did you, no, I guess you didn't, because you just got back in late.
Well, you assume. What?
Well, you didn't go to any of the Little Rock Film Festival events this week.
I did. I missed that, unfortunately, but I heard some great things. You know, obviously, it's becoming one of the top film festivals, top 20, at least, I heard, according to one publication in the entire country.
Yeah, nationally, it's getting a lot of respect.
It is.
We had the director of the identity theft of Mitch Mustain over the weekend. Interesting story, and I did not get a chance to make it over there. I had graduations and other things going on this weekend, but anyway, is it fascinating just talking about it, so I can't wait to actually see it.
I mean, that's the one that's narrated by Nolan Richardson,
right.
Correct?
You got it.
It's an interesting combination there, isn't it?
Well, as I said to him, because, again, it was during the Nutt era.
Yes.
And then you had Mitch Mustain, and then you have Nolan Richardson. I said, you got three of the most controversial figures in Razorback sports history.
History.
He goes, if I would have thought about that, we might have done that differently. I'm like, well, Nolan's on the other side, though. He's got one of the most compelling narrative voices you could come up with,
certainly,
too.
Certainly, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, like I told him, I said, if I had Nolan's voice, I'd probably be in a top 25 market. Then again, maybe I wouldn't. Couldn't hurt, though.
You'd at least be doing voiceovers for the top 25 market.
That's exactly right, and that pays way better, and you can stay home.
That's right.
Coach Bielema also at the event last night asked about a 9-game conference schedule, and this has been talked about quite a bit. I think most people, if you ask them, at least people in the media and some folks in the know, too, whether or not they'd like it, don't like it, whatever, they do think it's going to come to pass. And all the people, Robbie Nyswanger, Chris Bond, people we've talked to who I consider their opinions probably a little more valuable maybe than some other folks, including my own, I think what they think is that it's probably going to happen. So anyway, here's Coach Bielema talking about last night.
Yeah, you know, it was being talked about in the league I was at previously, and I know they've moved forward with it. I do know that coaches are probably going to have one opinion, and ADs and commissioners and presidents and everybody. I understand that there's probably great things to be expressed on both for a 9-game or to stay at an 8. I learned from a very wise man, Hayden Fry, that said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the SEC doesn't appear to be broke with so many championships in a row. And you'd almost like to continue that format for a certain amount of time and see where that goes. But the world of college football changed so much in 2014 that, you know, it's probably we're not putting ourselves in a great position if we don't discuss it.
So there you go. Much to be decided. We shall see.
Yeah, you know, I think that's kind of a nice way of saying I'm not necessarily all for it.
No,
in the world of college football, every win matters to get to the championship, even with the Final Four format that's about to come up. I mean, you're talking about a panel now that's going to be voting on this, as well as
that's a whole
other
different
fact. It's
a
whole
different concern.
It's a whole different concern. Anyway, 8, 9, obviously TV people want the 9. TV conglomerates.
That are making the money.
The ones that are making it because they want the high-profile matchups, not the Missouri Valley State versus Arkansas that's going to be shown on pay-per-view.
Right.
They want the big matchups,
that's
a conference game.
I prefer the, yeah. I mean, there is that means that's one less Arkansas-Samford game you got to sit through.
Exactly.
Although, look, my point would be, and I'm sure for a lot of coaches is this way, when you got to play 8 games in the SEC,
it's
every game
brutal.
Is difficult.
Yes.
I don't care if you're playing the last place team, you got a chance to lose because the teams are so good. It would be nice, and it's not an off week. Look, Arkansas is playing Rutgers out of conference. That's not a gimme, especially when you're playing on the road.
No, but
certainly
they like
wasn't
you said,
last
year playing Samford.
Yeah,
you know that's a team that
I think
shouldn't even be on the radar for an SEC team, any SEC team.
Well, I don't know. I'm torn on that deal because I also think that FCS schools deserve an opportunity, A, to make the money, B, to see where they stack up, and in some cases it's somewhat competitive. So
saw UCA last year go to Ole Miss.
Yeah,
and they were competitive for the first half.
Yes, had a chance to win at Louisiana Tech, a team that went on to win its conference. I'm going to call it right now. They're going to go beat Colorado this year.
But that's, I think the
He's
SEC
let
is
that
on
slide. They're going to go out there and beat Colorado this year. Mark it down, big fella.
Isn't Colorado going through another coaching change?
You know what? They're a BCS conference team, so I don't want to hear it. That's still a significant
win. It's not a knock against UCA. I think UCA is a great program.
I don't care how jacked up Colorado's program might or might not be.
I think Winrich Smothers is one of the most underrated quarterbacks, not just in the FCS, but in the country. He's doing a great job.
Okay, but you don't think that FCS team should play up or what?
No, I think they should play up. I just think...
You don't want Arkansas playing Samford is what you basically are telling me. I'm just trying
to create more. From the TV side of things, it's not a game that I'm going to be compelled to watch.
I will watch every second of it.
Oh, you will?
Yes. Because you know what?
Your name is liar.
That backup quarterback...
Your name is liar.
It's my middle name. If the quarterback situation isn't settled by then, it will be
okay.
Shortly thereafter. See, that's
with question marks on the team like there are this year. Maybe last year, not so much, or the year before, we should say. But maybe with question marks on this team, you want to see how they're going to compete against anyone, really. And that's a test for them, albeit not a huge one, but still a test early on, second game.
I got a test.